Welcome back in on The Point, 4:33 our time on this Monday afternoon. Let's get right over to the Groucho's Deli Hotline, where we want to welcome in Darlene Graham. Senator Graham joins us now to tackle some of the things heading into tomorrow's election, special election. And it's a pleasure to have you with us here on The Point. Thank you for making time. I know, obviously, it's quite a sprint before tomorrow, and you really haven't had a chance to catch your breath for a few weeks. So I really appreciate you joining us, Ms. Darlene. Thank you for the time.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to finally have the opportunity to join me, you. And before we get started, I just want to personally thank you for always being such a strong supporter and a friend to my brother. That meant a great deal to him and means a lot to me. So thank you.
That's incredibly humbling. Thank you for saying that, and I appreciate that very, very much. Let's talk a little bit about your message. Again, it's such a sprint, and you've kind of had to not necessarily make it up as you go along, but you've had to define yourself so quickly in so many ways, where you are on issues, where you're similar to Lindsay, where you differ from Lindsay, those kinds of things. So let's talk about some of the things that you consider core values to Darlene Graham. What is really important for the people here in the Midlands to know about you heading into tomorrow?
Okay, yeah, fair question. Well, Lindsay and I had very similar core values because we both grew up in the back of a liquor store and bar in one room, and our parents, you know, they were small business owners, so they had to work long, hard hours to make ends meet, which meant if they didn't feel well, they had to get up and go to work anyway. So I think from them, we learned at an early age that strong work ethic and the value of a dollar. And I think Lindsay and I both carried that through life. I mean, it shows and how he cared about the people and served the people. He had a servant's heart. I feel like I have a servant's heart. I have served the people of South Carolina for 30 years now, and I think that's where that comes from, how we grew up and our parents.
Let's talk about some of the things that have been the hot button issues here over the course of the last couple of weeks. Certainly the Save America Act is something that pretty much all of the candidates in this race are on a similar page with. I'm very frustrated, though, that the Senate was dismissed without getting anything done on this.
You and me both, because that's one of the first things that I co-sponsored was the Save America Act. I was hoping we would get it across the finish line, and I'm willing to even end the filibuster to do so. But unfortunately, we ended up in recess before that could get done. And just, you know, I was one of the ones that was willing to stay there. I voiced my vote to stay in session to get that across the finish line. But unfortunately, others voted differently, so we ended up in recess. But yeah, I feel very strongly that we need to get that completed.
When it comes to the filibuster, it's obvious, you know, you've said you've even differed from where Lindsay was at on this and the urgency of it right now. I know that that's something that you've it takes courage in these specific circumstances for you to step away from where he was at. You obviously can't compete with Lindsay in this. You've got to be you. Why are you so strong on the necessity to get the filibuster out?
Because I think it's that important that we get the Save America Act passed. And I know that the Democrats are probably going to turn around and do it anyway. So why not get ahead of them and go ahead and get the Save America Act passed and benefit us? So that's why I'm eager to do it.
Yeah.
That answers your question.
It does. Yeah, I mean, I understand it. It's definitely a scary precedent because there will come a time, Darlene, obviously, when the Democrats have control of the Senate. And so it scares me for what they're capable of doing. So I understand both sides to it for sure. Hey, one of the things that's come up that I really didn't expect to come up during this race is this whole concept of data centers. And so when I was telling our listeners you were going to be on, several of them said, please get Senator Graham to clarify where she is on the whole data center thing. So I know your opponents have misconstrued or taken what you've said and taken it in all different directions. That's why I'm glad you're with me so that you can clarify where you're at.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for bringing that up. And, you know, when it comes to data centers, it's not like I'm a fan of having them built in neighborhoods in our backyards, but the reality is we can't let China get ahead when it comes to AI and technology. That's going down a dangerous road. That could negatively impact our national security. So it's a competition, unfortunately. So we have to compete against China. And like I said, we can't let them win this competition. But do I think there needs to be guardrails in community involvement in deciding where these data centers are built? Absolutely. You know, it shouldn't impact our utility bills. I think there should be regulations involved that these data centers have to provide their own power plants, water sources, or whatever, so that it doesn't impact the cost to people in their utility bills. And, of course, like I said, I don't think they should be built in neighborhoods or near neighborhoods. That's where the community involvement piece and the guardrails come into place.
Darlene, did you ever think, and I realize, you know, the whole game of politics is having to play the game is new to you, having stepped into Lindsay's situation so difficultly. I understand that. But did you ever think, just as an American citizen, not even as a United States senator or a candidate, but did you ever think we'd get to a point where you were seeing this type of advancement of socialism in this country to the point where we've got mayors and we've got candidates on both the Senate and House side for the Democrats that are quite literally pushing this and thinking this is the way, as if America for 250 years has fallen on its face instead of thrived? They want to change everything.
You know, it's beyond concerning. It's downright scary, if you ask me, because, I mean, these socialist Democrats, they want to do away with borders. They want to abolish prisons. I mean, what are we supposed to do with the people that are in there for committing, you know, just terrible crimes like murder? I mean, they don't have any solutions. They want to abolish the Senate. I mean, it's extremism to a whole nother level. It's extremely concerning and it's very scary.
We're talking with Darlene Graham. She wants to be South Carolina's permanent next senator for the state of South Carolina. She's on the ballot tomorrow for the Republican nomination. She's with us for a few more minutes here, heading into the home stretch for tomorrow, with Election Day being tomorrow. Let me ask you about the other buzzword in this race, and that's been affordability and the fact that we have some crises going on. You know, I'm not worried about the immediacy of gas prices. I realize it's tough on people, but I support President Trump with what we're doing in Iran. And I know that once this gets resolved, we will see gas prices come down. But just big picture, that is a hot buzzword heading into midterms.
That is true. But like you, I do trust President Trump. I think the gas prices will eventually come down. So, you know, I know it's tough right now, but I think that's temporary. So I do trust him that they're going to come down, you know. But I know affordability is a big issue. It is for me. Like a lot of South Carolina families, I struggle too. I've mentioned several times, I'm a bargain shopper. When I go to the grocery store, if the steak's not on sale, it doesn't go in the cart. I look for the buy one, get one free sales. You know, the cost of health care, that's another issue that's really concerning to me, because I have two daughters with serious health problems, and I know outrageous medical bills can make a very hard impact on families. They can bankrupt families, so something has to be done about that as well. But when it comes to affordability, you know, overall, I think we need to grow the economy, increase our wages, cut taxes, and stop spending so much in the government.
You know, and I wasn't going to bring up your daughters, and I don't want to get into anything specific to nobody's business. But at the same time, as a parent, I do think you have some unique perspective, because you're not talking to us about those challenges as a politician. You're talking to us as a mom and as a parent that's been through gut-wrenching situations. So I wanted to give you an opportunity to speak about that for just 1 minute more, just about your ability to relate to the average person when it comes to that, Ms. Darlene.
I'm different. I mean, I'm not a politician. Mm-hmm. I never had any desire to be a politician. I was extremely proud of Lindsay. I don't think he was your typical politician. Like mm-hmm. I said earlier, he had a servant's heart. He really cared about the people. He had a great team that has been with him forever. And I'm so fortunate because his wonderful, experienced team that has provided so many great constituent services, they're going to be staying with me. So I'm very fortunate in that respect. But yeah, I'm living like every other South Carolinian. I mean, I share the same struggles. And like I said, my daughters and their health issues, we have racked up some pretty high medical bills that we're still paying on. I mean, so I feel the pain. I'm not a politician. I'm not in it for ambition or power. I mean, I'm still grieving my brother. If I didn't have a servant's heart, if I didn't want to continue helping and carrying on his legacy and helping South Carolinians, it would be so much easier for me just to, you know, stay at home, retire, and spend time with my grandson and my other grandbaby that's on the way. But I feel a calling. I prayed a lot about it, and I feel like it's my duty to serve the people of South Carolina, and I'm ready to work hard every single day to do that.
Last thing I'll ask you, and as we let you get out of here in just a moment, and that is, there's obviously, you know, the old Ronald Reagan 11th commandment, thou shalt not speak ill of another Republican. You know, that's kind of gone out the window these days, and there's been some harsh things said about you, even in a short time, by some of your opponents. What have you learned from this experience in just the last few weeks that maybe you didn't realize?
You know, I know politics can get ugly because Lindsay's been in it for a long time. But it's just so unfortunate. And I am in a place to where, like, I feel like I need to defend myself. I'm not going to attack anyone else, but I do feel like I need to defend myself against a particular opponent who has criticized me, calling me DEI. Regarding my career, which is just perplexing, actually, because I have spent 30 years working for the people of South Carolina. The last 7, I ran an agency that helped individuals who are blind get jobs and become less reliant on the government, thus saving taxpayers' dollars. I turned that struggling agency into a national model. So I don't understand how helping people who are blind get jobs, taking them off the government, is DEI. That's just really, like I said, very confusing to me. And, you know, I'm proud of the work I did at that agency. I worked really hard. So, yeah, I'll continue to defend myself on that one instead of attack someone else.
So I'll let you go after this, Darlene, but I want to give you an opportunity. This is basically, if you were to give the people listening here at The Point their last chance to hear, this is what Darlene Graham's all about heading into tomorrow. What's the one most important thing that you really want people to know if they're making their decision today?
Well, obviously, you know, I want to earn everyone's vote, and I use the word earn because, like I said, I work hard for the people of South Carolina every single day. But I'd like to let people know that President Trump is going to be holding a tele rally for me tonight at 6:30. If people would like to call in and listen to what he's got to say, the telephone number is 855-274-0644. Again, that's 855-274-0644. So I just encourage everyone to call in and listen.
For sure. Listen, I want to congratulate you on stepping up, the courage you've shown no matter what happens and whether or not there's a runoff in your future. I don't know. I think there will be. But I want to congratulate you and thank you also for stepping into a very difficult situation. It says a lot about your character. I look forward to a chance when we can sit and not talk about politics and we can just talk about Lindsay a little bit away from radio and away from politics, because I know as time goes on, Darlene, there's going to be people who come out of the woodwork who want to share stories with you, and that's part of the grieving process. So I can't wait to share a few to make you laugh because he was very special to me and will always be special in my heart. So God bless you, and I wish you nothing but the best.
I appreciate that, and I look forward to those stories. And one last, I'm going to channel Lindsay here. He always did this on the Fox News, DarleneGraham.com. Remember when he used to say LindseyGraham.com?
You betcha.
DarleneGraham.com.
Good luck tomorrow, and of course, we'll talk to you in over the next couple of weeks for the runoff. But again, God bless you, and thank you for the time.
God bless you, too. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Darlene. There you go. Darlene Graham joining us here on The Point.